So on Friday, I had a bit of a moment of panic in that I couldn't find my notes for today's preach, and just because before we went to Africa. So this is a preach that I did in Africa, and I think it's very relevant for us as a church. I worked it up one night in a hotel room in London on my work computer and left it on the desktop, emailed it to myself. And because I'm really, really good with my emails, I always delete my emails at the end of every month, what's in my deleted items. And so it disappeared. And because I had my work computer rebuilt recently, it also disappeared. So there was no notes. And I had a draft. And I was thinking, well, no. So, but in my logical way of thinking, I did find a way of retrieving my deleted email. So praise God for the recover deleted email. But anyway, so as I said, I did this preach when we were out in Africa, and it sort of, in a way, follows on from, if you remember a while back, I did a preach on hope is an anchor for the soul. So this is ocean related, and actually I'm feeling like kind of a bit of kind of humbled and a bit, oh my goodness, because this is the last preach of this year. I know there will be the word of God next week in the family service, but that's what you've got to do. But in terms of, you know, this is the last sort of preach, and it's really important actually, because this will be something you can take with you over the Christmas break, and it should set you up for the new year. And so it's titled "It Is Time to Go Deeper." And this came about really from, I was thinking about a time over the summer when there was me and Dave and Freddie and Sue and Ed, and we spent the day at Watergate Bay, and we decided it was a good idea on the windiest day of the whole year to get into our wetsuits and get our bodyboards out and go into the sea, because it was the only chance we were going to get that year. And that wasn't a very good idea because it was absolutely rubbish. But what it made me think about is how, you know, powerful the sea is. And when it's really, really windy, you can get knocked off your feet and you can get, you know, moved into the area outside of the flags. And that happened on that day. Before we knew it, we were way outside of the flags where we should be, and it was really hard to get back to where we wanted to be. And what you realise is that the power of the ocean is just, it's immense, isn't it? And it can be quite a scary place, and you have to be quite confident to venture out into the deep. So when we were in Africa and I was trying to explain the beach, and I put a picture of Watergate Bay up, and they were sort of all nodding. But anyway, so where this came out of was during the last prayer initiative we had, which was, when was it? It was a while back now. I felt that God was saying to me at that time that it was time to immerse and it was time to go deeper. And it made me think about where we were coming out of that season as a church, where we were encouraged to dip our toes in the water, if you remember, from going back a year or so ago when we came back from New Wine. We were encouraged to dip our toes in the water into new things, and that led into a season of us all trying different things, lots of people preaching, us starting to think about initiatives we wanted to get involved in, and it was great. And we kind of were doing that in a very careful and quite measured way, and that was fine. And God was really faithful to us during that time, and we took him at his word, and, you know, we were obedient to his call at that time. And it was amazing. But then we had to move on. You can't just be comfortable in that nice taking, you know, measured steps. And I know we talk about the six steps and all of that, and that's great too. But actually, you need to move on. And Pastor Richard spoke about casting the bread into the waters and taking, you know, reckless faith and having reckless obedience and being reckless with our generosity. But what I realised was with this is that we can only do this and have a reckless faith if we go deeper with God. And when I took this word to the people in Zambia, it fitted in really well with their conference, because it was something like it's time to go to the next level, moving from glory to glory. So it really fitted in quite well for them. Although we're not going up, we're going to go down into the depths. So what we need to do is we need to dive in and immerse ourselves fully into the things of God in this new season so that we can outwork what it is that he wants us to do. And we need to get deeper with him. We need to get closer to him. So what are we talking about when we talk about being immersed? Here is a dictionary definition just to help us. It means to plunge into or place under a liquid, to involve deeply or to absorb. So, for example, she is totally immersed in her schoolwork. If you think about baptism, that's all about immersion and going into the water. And it also means to embed, bury, or be completely covered. So what we need to think about is moving away from the kind of safety of the riverbank or the seashore, where we might have been just dipping our toes in, and we need to leave that behind and go deeper into God's love, into his word, and into his grace, so we can experience change and fruitfulness in our lives. When we were in Africa, I had to explain that we sang a song called Oceans, and we all know that song really, really well here, don't we? I'm not sure they had heard it. I didn't play it, actually. It might have been a good thing to do. And this speaks of the call to go deeper and to find the Lord in a new and fresh and faith-filled way. So it says, doesn't it, in that first verse of Oceans, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand." So often when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to do something quite radical and to go deeper, to find the next new thing, to learn a new truth or to see a miracle. And in Luke 5 and verse 4, it says, "When he had finished speaking," that is Jesus, "he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.'" So he encouraged them to go out deeper because that was where the fruitfulness was going to come from. That's where the new thing was going to be. That was where they were going to see God do amazing things. So why is the Lord calling us to go deeper? I've got 3 points. Very good today. I've got three. Yeah. So, in the deep, you'll be challenged, which, as I said, when we were taking our bodyboards out, it was quite challenging out in the deep. So out in the deep, or during trials and tribulations, we can feel a little overwhelmed. We feel like we're going to drown. Things can be quite turbulent and quite out of control. Things can feel desperate, and so desperate that we call out to God as a final measure. Psalm 69, verse 1 to 3 says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me." So if you think about like that really rough sea, you know, I showed them a picture of a really rough sea, and that really helped them. But sometimes, although it's quite challenging in those situations, it is good to go out of your depth, to move out of your comfort zone. It's here we learn how much we can manage and how much we can bear, and we get taught new things. And although it can be quite uncomfortable and feel unsafe, we're not sure what happens is going to happen next, it is here we learn to wholeheartedly fix our eyes on Jesus and trust in him. To trust him to look after us. He will sustain us there, and he will fulfill his purpose. We should be calling out to him first and recognising that he is the one who can silence that storm. So Psalm 65 and verse 7 says, "You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations." So going back to the ocean song, the next verse says, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour." So if you think about when Peter, and Jesus called him to walk on the water in Matthew 14, it was into quite a stormy sea. And at first, the disciples didn't even recognise that Jesus was there in the storm. They thought he was a ghost. But when Peter got out of the boat, he had to fix his eyes completely on Jesus so he didn't sink. But, as we know in the story, when he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the wind and what was going on around him, he started to sink and became afraid. And this is how it is in life. If we don't fix our eyes on Jesus in the trials and challenges when we're out in the deep, then that's what happens. We can sink. And the Lord promises this in his word in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When God speaks in his wisdom in this difficult place, it can be quite challenging, and we may feel that we can't do what is being asked of us, but we can be encouraged by what it says in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 18 and verse 4, wise words are like deep waters. So number two, in the deep we will be changed. It's sometimes time for a sea change. And for many people at the moment, you may be going through situations in your life where the change is so significant, you could define it as a sea change, and that's going to help you get to the next thing in God. So some of you may have heard that word sea change. It's a bit of a strange thing that's come out of Shakespeare. Who has read The Tempest at school? Eleanor or Alice, have you read The Tempest? No? And so a sea change can be defined as a profound or notable transformation, a striking change, as in appearance, often for the better. It is a transformation brought about by the sea. So, and as I said, the phrase originates from Shakespeare's play. And what happens in that play, I'm not too familiar with it myself, but part of the play talks about a man being thrown into the sea and he suffers a sea change. Under the water, he is transformed into something entirely new. And it says in the play, it's something rich and strange. And, you know, when you think about what happens in baptism, that's the whole point of baptism, is being immersed. The old has gone, the new has come. In the waters of baptism, the sins of our old life, our regrets and our failings are washed away. As we're tipped back in the water of baptism, we're completely immersed and we emerge out of the water clean and as a new creation in Christ. And that's how we start our journey on living in a different way. And it completely changes us, and it can have, well, it does have a really profound effect on people being baptised. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And often these sea changes, they don't happen all the time, but it's significant points. And that might be, for instance, you might be called, like Adrian was called, to move from Kent to Bristol. That was pretty radical, given the fact he didn't know anybody here, all his daughters were here, and he needed to change jobs and all of the rest of it. That is a pretty significant change. So we're not talking about, I don't know, you might change your supermarket shopping from Tesco's to Ocado or something like that. It is really significant, and some of you will be experiencing this at the time. You might be being called to put something down, and in putting that down, you can pick up something new. You might be being told to move on, or even just to stop and rest for a time, which is an interesting one, because we don't think about actually change. We always want to be doing. But actually, some of you might be being told to stop, rest, wait a while. And sometimes sea changes, as we know, can come out of periods of heartbreak, because something is broken and it can't be fixed. So you have to go through that to move into the new. It's worth remembering, though, that in times of big change in our lives and throughout our Christian walk, we are continually being transformed into the likeness of Jesus and being called to change. So we're constantly being transformed into his likeness. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. A well-known preacher that I follow quite avidly recently said, for something new to emerge, we need to be willing to immerse. So the question to you today is, are you due a sea change to enable you to move into the next significant thing with God? Point number three, I'm rattling through, but this, I have to remember, when I was in Africa, I had Edward translating for me, so it was double. So, in the deep, you will be recharged and refreshed. So not only in the deep will we be challenged and changed, which can be quite painful and sometimes not very enjoyable, we can enjoy the refreshment of the Holy Spirit in that deep place. There are times when you're in the sea, and it's not often in this country, when it is perfectly still and you can just float around and not worry about being consumed by the next big wave. I remember one time, it was a few years back, when we went down to Woolacombe for the day as a church. Do you remember? It was like the hottest day of the year and we all took our surfboards and all the rest of it. There was no hope of any surfing. And we did literally just spend time, a lot of time out in the water, bobbing around and just enjoying the water. It's there that you can find rest and relaxation and peace. And the last verse in Ocean Song says, I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours and you are mine. And it's interesting to note, at the beginning of time in creation, we read in Genesis 1 that deep waters covered the earth, but the Spirit of God hovered over the water. And I'd like to think that this is the same today. But also in the deep, we can be embraced, soaked, and completely covered by the Holy Spirit, the living water. There is awakening that happens when we immerse ourselves in the cold, deep ocean. And sometimes the cold water can be a shock to the system, but sometimes that's what we need to jump us into action, to start us up again. I don't know if many of you have been into one of those plunge pools. Centre parts have them, don't they? Really cold one. It's just like a proper shock to the system. But when we embrace God's plan, it's an awful thing. But when we embrace God's plan to build something new, we need to ensure that these plans are fully saturated by His Holy Spirit to ensure they're full of life, and we will be successful in every step if we do that. So, for us as a church, as we come to the end of what's been an amazing year in many respects, you think about the things we are doing as this small community of believers here, the lives we have touched, the things we do in Africa, the homeless stuff, the hampers, and all of these things which are great and they're new. And I can't actually remember a time, even in my 20-year Christian walk, where it feels like we're doing something that is outside of ourselves. I'm probably not being disingenuous by saying that, but we're doing things, we're getting out there, but there's more for us next year. But to get to the more, we need to go deeper with God. That means spending time with Him. It means getting out there into the deep. It means getting out there, being challenged. You might need to change some things in your life. You know, those questions Dave asked at home group that we didn't quite get onto. You know, what is it that you're willing to change to enable you to do what it is that God wants you to do next? Because you might have to put some stuff down to make that happen. So we need to be willing to immerse, to go deeper, to jump in. And it's in the deep where we'll learn to depend on God more. We might have to go through a big sea change. We can leave the past behind in this place and move into a new and exciting season. We can be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. So if you're feeling dry or your plans aren't going as you would like them, get out there in the deep and immerse yourself in His love, grace, word and spirit. Be challenged and come out changed. Let the Lord saturate the stresses and even the sins of your life away. In Micah 7, verse 19, it says, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. And we must be reassured of the promise that He will, as it says in Psalm 18, reach down from heaven and rescue us and draw us out of deep waters. Amen.